we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with an advertisement seen in the Derby Evening Telegraph, read by Peter Donaldson.
Electrician required, varied work, must be qualified and conscious.
Thanks to Ted Shepherd of Fellwall for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Francis Ween. And challenging them on my left, Alan Corran and Rebecca Front. Jeremy, who failed to secure a conversion on the road to Damascus?
By the way, listeners, I do have something of a cold this evening, so I'm sounding a little bit Radio 2. A little bit through the night there on Radio 2. The people trying to stay awake as they drive heavy vehicles. Tony Blair has been travelling the Middle East, shoring up opposition to the war, and accusing those of us who are opposed to it of not remembering the events of September the 11th. So next time we march, the police are going to put out lots of those big yellow signs that say, a serious incident happened on September the 11th. Did you see three planes crashing? And he's saying that we've all forgotten. And the trouble is, whenever you argue with one of these people, they say, well, what's your alternative? And I'm sorry, it's not my responsibility to come up with an alternative. If I find something morally repugnant, I don't have to provide some way of weaning the person off it. You know, if it's dogfighting or exposing yourself to children, it's not my alternative to try and find something else to distract them. I'm perfectly entitled to say, I think it's wrong. But they all say, what's your alternative? And this is the end of logic, really. Because you could come down in the middle of the night and catch your partner mounting the video recorder. And you'd say, what the hell are you doing? And they'd say, well, what's my alternative? I don't know, a cushion, it'd be softer, I don't know. So, yeah, Blair, and he went to...
The pasting by old President Assad. There was a thing on the front page of The Guardian saying President Assad of Syria has given Tony Blair a dressing gown. But he's actually achieved something, because he went on one of his whistle-stop tours, and he's managed to unite Syria and Saudi Arabia and Israel. The one thing they can all agree on is they think he's a bit of a bug. So he has brought peace to the Middle East. And also, he's won the war, it turns out, because the other man, Duncan Smith, or whatever he's called, wrote a piece in the Telegraph, very mildly questioning some of the things that are going on and saying that the war aims seemed a bit confused and they kept changing. And Downing Street was so annoyed by this, they put out a statement, a sort of four-page statement, saying, no, it's not confused, we have 15 war aims so far. 15, no less. And it said, most of these have now been achieved, which means we've won already. And they
won. That start the engine, take off, things like that.
Well, I think, you know, get Stephen Byers out of the headlines as often as possible. That was the main war aim.
I do remember exactly my feelings on September 11. I remember thinking, Tony Blair is going to absolutely love this. And he does, doesn't he? He gets to do all his faces. He gets to do earnest, worried, slightly... Doesn't get to do smiley, but he will at the end, maybe.
Ian Duncan Smith accused the government of losing the battle for hearts and minds of the British people and offered his party's help due to their unparalleled expertise in this area. 2 points to Jeremy. Francis, your piece of music. Francis, who believes the Tory party has been gathering nuts since May?
Well, I know the answer to this. It's my old friend Charles Clark, who I think now rejoices in the title of Chairman of the World or something. And he's accused the Shadow Cabinet of being full of nutters. This from a man who sits in a cabinet that includes Hilary Armstrong, Stephen Byers, God knows who else, Claire Short. But anyway, he's said that the Tories are a bit loony and Duncan Smith is a bad hat. I mean, it does suggest that Duncan Smith, this hitherto utterly unimpressive figure, has got under their skin a bit, that he writes one little newspaper article and suddenly the likes of Charles Clark are going berserk.
Slightly evasive of Labour, isn't it? Whenever they're under attack, they just go, look over there, the Tories.
But it's also because in the first Labour government, they could blame everything on the Tories. Oh, well, you know, we inherited this rubbish from them. But now they're into the second term. They're inheriting their own mess.
The Labour chairman said the party had become more extreme, more ultra-right and more dislocated from the electorate. Though he admitted the Tories were pretty bad as well. 2 points to Francis. Rebecca, welcome. I'm glad you made it.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I was late.
No.
So the cab didn't show, right? So the cab didn't show at all. And I was looking all slinky, you know, in case you hadn't noticed, because my husband's taking me out tonight. And I hope...
What, having you killed?
And, that was the agenda. So I had my high heels on to go with the skirt, because I never wear skirts, and then I had to drive here, and now I've got my driving shoes, and I look terrible, and I'm going to the Ivy afterwards, and I feel...
Ooh.
That was the purpose of the anecdote, thank you. It was all worthwhile.
It's really a pack of lies. I was the one that was late, because the security's murdered here, and they now do body searches, and I'm beginning to like them, so they hang around.
Rebecca, who learned that their training had paid off when it came to their school report.
Is this the story about how there are lots of teachers being trained, but they're all dropping out of the profession?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Mm. 2 points.
Thank you. Is that it? Do I have to come up with something funny as well?
Well, it's up to you. It's been a difficult evening. So
no, apparently they... It's getting worse. Yes, they drop like flies, these people. They get some kind of payment in order to embark on teacher training, I learnt. Sort of £4,000 or something, and then they start doing their teacher training, and then weirdly, they don't all complete teacher training, which has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that they don't have to pay any of that money back. I mean, I would do the same thing. It's like one of those scams where you join a bank and you get a free biro, and then you join another bank and get a cassette player or something, isn't it? So, yes, of course, all these very sensible people are embarking on teacher training and then not teaching at all.
Exactly. Well done. The corned beef hash at the Ivy is absolutely delicious.
Vegetarian, you see. I'm vegetarian, it just gets worse and worse.
What's the point in being Jewish if you're a vegetarian? Actually, if you're a Jewish vegetarian, you should eat bacon, really.
Do you want to try and unravel this?
I'm sure there's logic in there somewhere.
Education Secretary Estelle Morris announced more students are being recruited into teacher training in England than at any time in the last 7 years, though the government is still short of its target. Pressed as to why the government had yet again missed its target, Ms. Morris said she wouldn't be making any lame excuses, but she did point out that the dog had eaten the statistics. Alan, what's proved to be the last straw, as people will now be able to vouch for themselves?
Is it about vouchers?
It is.
Yes. It's about their very... It's not the sperm question. We haven't got our sperm question this week
yet. No, that was 2 weeks ago.
No, it was last week as well. I was hoping for the sperm question. I've been boning up all week. Now, I think this is to do with the Speaker of the House of Commons. I had to apologise for approving of the remission that Blunkett had given to the voucher system. Blunkett has rescinded. The Speaker approved of it. The Speaker then apologised because he's supposed to be politically neutral. And I think that's it. Really?
Yes, they're going to get Tesco club cards instead.
They're going to get these... Instead of the humiliation of vouchers, they're going to have cards probably sewn onto their clothes. These ID cards that they have to have. There's no humiliation in that, of course. So they have to present it everywhere they go. And, of course, it's got smart information in the computerised chip on the back. So everything about them just flashes up wherever they go when it's swiped through the machine. And the person's like, oh, you were tortured, how badly?
Would you like cash back?
Mm. So instead of living
loyalty
on the ignominy...
Loyalty cards is what they actually
they're putting them in camps instead, which is the humane alternative. I think what they're doing with Blunkett, he managed to get rid of loads of teachers, so they're just hoping if he's Home Secretary, refugees will just leave. The problem will be retaining refugees now.
David Blunkett has announced the controversial voucher system for asylum seekers will be replaced with cash payments, though asylum seekers will now have to carry ID cards, or, if they join the Conservative Party, IDS cards. So we start round two with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph.
Schoolboy footballers in Stalybridge last Saturday watched in amazement as the ball, which was kicked 40 feet into the air and was expected to soar over nearby houses, struck a passing seagull and bounced into the back of the net.
Thanks to Mr. Johnson of Salford for that. Jeremy, listen to this. Jeremy, which parades are fast-forwarding into the future?
Ah, the cops now, instead of having real ID parades with real people, it'll all be done on video, which will make the thing much more suggestive, you see. Well, you have a bank of people, a bank of volunteers that go and do this, and then they have the person that they're trying to fit up, and they slot that one in, into the montage. So they can use directorial skills to steer the witness in the right direction. Because it'll say, contestant number one is Justin. He's an interior designer, and he enjoys long walks and working with disabled children. And it'll carry on like that until it gets to, Carlos is the suspect. You will be afraid. And that's how they get them. But what I don't know about ID parades is, if you're not the one that did it, but you're picked out, can they still do you? Because if not, then the perfect cover for any crime is to volunteer to be on ID parades. They'll say, no, not him, he's one of ours. No, but I swear, it's that one with the shotgun and the balaclava. It's not him. It's just an actor who's out of work. So my advice to anyone who wants to commit a crime is volunteer to do ID parades.
You know, the police are getting old age pensioners to man speed cameras now as well. But there's no shortage of police or anything like that.
Old people don't drive any faster than they walk, do they? They won't even see people driving normally going by.
And they always wear hats, don't they?
And driving gloves. They're still made, but I've never met anyone who's bought a pair of driving gloves. What are they? What's the point of them?
They've got a hole in the back. so you can scratch your eczema. You're stuck in traffic.
David Blunkett has responded to the very real fear that he might go an entire day without detailing some new initiative by announcing that police identity parades are to be replaced with videos. One recently burgled Kent householder said he found it very difficult to pick out the thief from the tape the police sent him, as the chap had nicked his video. 2 points to Jeremy. Francis, whose decision was seen in some quarters as simply not cricket?
I think it's Caddy and Crofty, probably. I'm reading Darren Goff's autobiography at the moment by some hideous accident, and it's very hard to follow because he refers to all these people.
Not fair to call an author a hideous accident, Francis.
Well, actually, if you'd read it, you would say that. But he refers to all his colleagues throughout by their nicknames. So it slows you down a bit because he's a Stewie then came in, and Crofty and Corky, and he refers to himself as Goffy throughout, rather confusingly. And I thought, well, Nick Knight, is he going to appear? Is he really called Knighty? And sure enough, on about page 58, he then says, and then Knighty came in. He's a good, solid batter. But anyway, so Caddy and Crofty have wimped out of going to India and have been denounced by Ted Dexter and Christopher Martin Jenkins and probably Tony Blair, for all I know, for not entering into the spirit of the new coalition against terrorism because their families don't want them to go to India for the winter. Is fair enough to me, but there we are. And actually, Goffey's not going either, and Stewie. But they dropped out for other reasons. I don't know what. They didn't like the time change.
You mean they wish it was still 1827? Yes, it was the decision of England cricketers Andy Caddick and Robert Croft not to take up places in the forthcoming tour of India because of fears for their safety. Indian cricket officials have pointed out that most of the grounds England will be playing on are at least 300 miles from the Afghan border, making it almost certain they'll be hit by an American cluster bomb. Alan, listen to this. Have you ever had to rubble with your ultimate bail? Have you ever had to push, 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 push? Car trouble, oh yeah! Car Trouble by Adam and the Ants. Alan, who is taking a tough stance on car trouble?
Where are the puns and the jokes in the question?
There aren't any.
There are none. Is it a tough stance on car trouble? I don't know. Is it second-hand cars?
No,
it's John Prescott.
Not again.
Who was standing in for Blair, because Blair has been saving the world and he's too busy to deal with abandoned cars in Lewisham. So Prescott is now the acting Prime Minister and turned up in the House of Commons and said there was a problem with people abandoning their cars. So if you leave your car anywhere, it'll be nicked in South London. Well, it is anyway, but the difference is it'll be the council doing it anyway.
So the council drive it really fast over the common and then set fire to it. And all because your licence disc fell off. That's what happens, your licence disc falls off and they accuse you of having an abandoned car. It's not bleeding abandoned, it's outside my house.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes,
there are thousands of them in Lewisham. I don't know why Lewisham is the place where they all go. But
3,000 a year in Lewisham alone.
But why is Prescott so concerned about Lewisham? He doesn't go down there, does he?
There must be something about that particular South East London vortex that people start out on some wacky journey worthy of a movie, Thelma and Louise and all that sort of stuff, and they're racing through London drinking Jack Daniels and firing guns and stuff, and then they just pull into Lewisham and go, oh, what's the use? I used to live in Lewisham. Well, hit the green. Yeah, hey. That's what people do on what's the name with Cilla Black, isn't it? When you say the name of a town, they go, hooray! And when one of them's got a CSC, they go, ooh.
Oh, lady, well.
There's Posh, he's got trousers.
Not for long on blind date. Government spokesperson refused to say what they intended to do with the hundreds of thousands of abandoned cars before moving on to other news and announcing an end to the asylum seekers' accommodation problem. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the property pages of the West Briton newspaper.
Accommodation on three floors includes a lower ground floor with kitchen and toilets seating about 24.
Thanks to Marion Little of Breege in Cornwall for that. But in case I've got the pronunciation wrong, thanks to Marion Little of Briage in Cornwall for that. Thanks to Marion Little of Briagi in Cornwall. Oh, God, I wonder if I got a name right. Jeremy, why might Britain schoolgirls now be graduating from atomic kitten to alcoholic cats?
This is St. Catherine's College, Cambridge. And apparently the dean or whatever, the archdeacon of the college is annoyed that the girls are drinking rather a lot and stripping and running around half naked in the quad, you see. And the worry is that in 2 years all of these people will be radio producers at BBC Light Entertainment. And they will be expected to be a safe pair of hands for a venerable if tedious programme like Quote Unquote. They'll be sitting there with people like, I don't know, with Wendy Craig and Archbishop George Carey, saying, I know, last one to get their bra off has to drink their own sick. Oh. So it's that, isn't it? So they're cracking down.
The most worrying aspect of that story, I felt, was not shock horror students get drunk, tell us something we didn't know, but it was about the initiation rites. And the men's one, they've come up with a typically boysy thing where you have to drink loads and loads and loads and loads of beer and wear a rugby shirt and then you have to eat some cat food. That's really hilarious. But the girls' one, this is the one that really disturbed me. They have to drink loads and loads and loads and loads of Cinzano and Tizer or something. But then they have to eat a Mars bar out of a man's pants. Now, the men in question are going to be male students. And any fool knows that male students and washing powder are not compatible. You know, this, it just does not bear thinking about, does it?
Is well, the man in the pants
at
the
time? And
now
you're all thinking about it.
Presumably these students will know what you can do with melted chocolate and a couple of rulers.
What can you do with melted chocolate? Tell me more with that voice of yours.
Oh, my dear, I could buy you a flat in town. Make your life very comfortable, you know. I am repulsive, but kindly.
It makes great radio, doesn't it? I was at Cambridge too, but we didn't need a society to get pissed in. Not all bad news following the reports of gross drunkenness, drug-taking and lewd behaviour by the girls George Bush's daughters have put their names down to follow Chelsea Clinton into an Oxbridge education. 2 points. Francis, whose entry into the Guinness Book of Records came with quite a few strings attached?
Quite a few strings attached?
I should have emphasised the word string. Quite a few strings attached.
Pinocchio?
Well, the only Guinness Book of Records story I saw was about the fattest cat in the world. The Guinness Book of Records says it will no longer run entries for the fattest cats because it might encourage cat owners to overfeed their cats until
they
explode.
That madman with the balloons, isn't it?
Yes.
With a fat balloon, is it?
Some prat who wanted to get in the Guinness Book of Records and indeed on the News Quiz and possibly in Pick of the Week. attached himself to 600 children's balloons. And Mars bars and other going-home presents, and before he knew it, he was 13,000 feet up. Which is what he wanted to do. It being a quiet week and not much news from Afghanistan. So he sailed up on these red, white and blue balloons. And now he's in the Guinness Book of Records. And I've forgotten his name, but I wouldn't mention it if I could, because that's what he was after.
This isn't true, is it?
I'm afraid it is. Hence the word strings. See, the strings has nothing to do with cats, but it's got a lot to do with balloons.
He grabbed a lot of balloons and flew off.
He tied himself to 500 balloons and ascended to a height of 11,000 feet.
How'd he get down again?
With a knife. It's true, he had a knife, he cut the string.
Really?
It's all very simple scientifically.
Well, it wasn't in my newspaper. Was this in the Exchange of March, this story?
No.
Are you sure it's not to do with overweight cats?
No, I'll just give you a point to keep the score from being the same. Quite unfair. But Alan got 2 points. Mr. Ashbole modestly admitted he wasn't really very brave. In fact, his method is now statistically the safest method of flying. Even members of the England cricket team may give it a try. Rebecca, listen to this. Song. Autumn Almanac by the Kinks. Why may we have to say goodbye, Rebecca, to the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness?
Oh, weather stuff. Is it weather stuff?
Well, it is.
Hottest October ever.
Well, since 1659.
Oh, really?
1659 was a stinker. Yes. Pete's walking around scratching his balls, saying, why won't they put the fountains on? There's all that. Milton. Amazing. Charles, well, no, it was. I mean, obviously, if this was the hottest since 1659, 1659 was a hell of a year.
Well, there you are. Global warming.
Indeed.
Well, it's the hottest, but also the wettest, as far as I can see. Because certainly where I live, everything was flooded. We've been underwater for the last fortnight, and then they say we're having an Indian summer.
Not Francis, least... try to imagine how little the listener cares.
Well, it is the case, Jerry. You see, you metropolitans, you're not affected by weather because it's just constant in places like London. You don't actually have weather as such.
Oh, we do.
Sticks.
Yeah, but where do you come when you want to be on a radio programme? London, that's where.
Well, actually, the Cell Fox studio in somewhere like Ipswich would do very nicely, but they don't allow that.
Wouldn't work on the News Quiz, would it? Are you there in Cell Fox, Francis?
No, I'm sorry, it's Terry Waite doing Thought for the Day. You can't come in yet.
With last month officially the hottest October since records began in 1659, scientists are predicting longer, hotter springs, summers and autumns, combined with wetter winters.
Began in 1659. What did people in 1659 do about? My God, it's bloody old. When was the last? And they didn't know. Why did they suddenly start keeping records in 1659?
The pencil was invented in 1659. By Lord Crayola.
Very good.
At the Battle of 2HB.
Scientists claim that this short-sleeve weather will now extend from March to October, though it will remain from January the 1st to December the 31st in Newcastle. Before we reveal the final thrilling scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
This one was sent in by Mrs. Marie Tollin from Monifieth in Angus, and it says, more problems on the railways. But it's good to see a ScotRail has a sense of humour. A customer writes, gentlemen, I have been riding trains daily for the last 2 years, and the service on your line seems to be getting worse every day. I'm tired of standing in the aisle on the 14-mile trip. The transportation system is worse than that enjoyed by people 2,000 years ago. Yours truly, AC. Dear sir, we received your letter with reference to the shortcomings of our service. The only mode of transportation 2,000 years ago was by foot. Sincerely, ScotRail. Gentlemen, I am in receipt of your letter, and I think you are the ones confused in your history. If you will refer to the Bible, Book of David, 9th chapter, you will find that Balaam rode to town on his ass. That, gentlemen, is something I have not been able to do on your train in the last 2 years.
This is from the Daily Telegraph obituary of a woman called Irina Brumley, a Russian heiress who later became a film star in Nazi Germany and millions of other things. And it says, she was born Baroness Irene Isabella Margareta Paulina Cecilia von Merndorf ex den Hauser Uxkull. She changed her first name from Irene to Irina when she later became a British citizen.
Rebecca.
This is a cutting sent in by Claire Smith from Wiltshire. Unlike certain less responsible members of her family, the Queen has hardly ever been known to make a faux pas while carrying out her countless engagements. But she made a wee slip the other day during a visit to Eton College. At a select gathering of senior beaks, Her Majesty made a speech thanking the staff for their help in looking after her grandson, Prince William. She paid particular tribute to the headmaster, Peter Jones. The only trouble was that the headmaster is called John Lewis.
Alan.
It's from the Oldham Chronicle, Simon. It says, the magistrates were told that the dispute between the two neighbours had been going on for almost 3 years. It began when Mr. Horton complained to the council about the number of gnomes in Mr. Melchett's front garden. The result of Mr. Melchett's passion for clay modelling, there were 16 of them. Mr. Melchett's response to the council's visit had been to make a 17th gnome, which strongly resembled Mr. Horton. And, seen from a certain angle, appeared to be doing something to a rabbit.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores now. Rebecca and Alan have 12 points, but this week's winners, thanks to my unique scoring system, are Jeremy and Francis with 13 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Sun.
A statue kept in a Southampton museum basement has been identified as 2,700 years old and from Egypt. It is priceless. Staff have been using it as a cycle rack.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Rebecca Front, Jeremy Hardy and Francis Weed. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Debbie Barham, Tom Jameson, Simon Littlefield and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.